Thank you, Pastor Phil. Good morning, guys. Good morning. Good to be with you. It's good to be together on Sunday morning, isn't it? It's great for the body of Christ to come together and celebrate the same thing. Right? In unity, we celebrate that Jesus is our King and He's our Savior and that we are children of the Father. It's a good thing to come together and celebrate. And one thing that I was mentioning in the first service was that as I continue to grow older, I've recognized more and more the need for one another in the body of Christ and how much we need one another. Make no mistake about it, as we cannot do this Christian walk alone, right? We were not created to do this alone. We were created to be in community, and we were created to reflect the Godhead, where the three of them work together for a common purpose. And that's what we're here for, and that's why we gather together regularly to celebrate that and to join together in the purposes of God. Amen? It's a good thing. It really is a good thing. This morning, we're going to start a new series, and the new series is entitled New Beginnings. If you've been with us for the past summer, you've heard that we've felt the leadership of this church. That definitely feels like the Lord is leading us into a season of new beginnings, and there are some practical, visible applications to what that new beginnings look like. But overall, it's a season of freshness, a season of new. It's a season of entering into what we really don't know. It's a little bit of uncertainty, and it's going to require a lot of faith to step into it. And I'm excited, and I hope you're excited as well. And so, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. And as you're turning there, one of the things that I'm going to be preaching about this morning has been stirring up in my heart for quite a while now. And it's a lesson that God has been teaching me over the last 4 years. And I use the 4 years as a season. I want to identify that as a season. The last 4 years of my life and my family's life has been a segmented season. It's clear that that God was doing a work in and through us, particularly and personally. And so here we are, and there was a lot of little lessons being taught during that four-year time, but there was one overarching lesson that I was learning, and that's what I'm going to be preaching out of. It's a revelation from God to my heart, and I'm sure it's a revelation that many of you in this room have received from God long ago in your journey, in your walk with Christ. It's new for me and for my family, but here we go, and we're entering into a new season. And how many of you agree that as you enter into a new season, you want to make sure that you're entering in it and getting off on the right track, right? Like, I want to make sure that we're entering in this season on the right track. I want to make sure that I'm prepared and equipped for the season ahead. Because if we're not prepared, and if we're not equipped, then we're going to miss out on what God is doing. We're not going to be attentive to the things of God and what He's going on. And I don't know about you, but I do not want to miss out on anything that God is doing. Anybody else? I don't want to miss out on anything that God is doing. I want to be involved. If this wave is coming, I want to ride the wave any way, shape, or form, whatever part that I play in that wave, I want to ride it. I don't want to miss anything that God is doing. And so we're going to learn a lesson today that I believe is very challenging for all of us, especially in the time of life that we live, and it's about being attentive. It's about being attentive. It's about listening. And so before we get into the Word of God, Bronwyn, would you start that video? And I just want to play this video for you just a moment. This is just going to be a little exercise to be listening. That exercise was to help us listen to the different rhythms and beats. And I wanted you to hear that because the lesson that God has for us today is learning how to abide in the rhythm that He establishes for our lives. Abiding in the rhythm that God has for our lives. All of us here today are alive in 2019. We are all familiar with the pace of life, aren't we? And how over the last decade or two decades, the pace of life has just increased. It seems like the rhythm and the pace has just, the tempo of life has just sped up. And unlike any other time in history, it's a pace of life that has been embedded in today's culture. And what it's begun to do is cause unrest in our hearts and our spirits internally. Our culture continues to put demands on us, and it becomes more and more difficult to be in sync with what God is doing. And what we all find ourselves doing is giving ourselves over to these demands at times. And I can tell you from experience that when we give over to the demands and the pace and the tempo that life and the society and culture is creating and demanding from us, it leaves us ended up burnt out, frustrated, stressed, teetering on the edge of destruction. And I believe that what God wants to do in this time and in this new season is to show us a better way. And that better way is always God's way. Amen? That better way is always God's way. And it is the way that God has held all of creation in order. And that is abiding in the rhythm of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 25. Paul says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these two are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Now those things that you want to do are the things that pleases God. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're no longer under the law. You're no longer under the tyranny of the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident for all to see. There's sexual immorality, there's impurity and sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of rage and anger, rivalries and dissensions and divisions, envy, drunkenness and orgies and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, all right, so what he's saying is, but the product of your life is to be love and joy, peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And here's verse 25. So then if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Now, again, we live in a rapid pace of life. And I've been thinking about this more and more as it just seems to be picking up. And it's just the tempo and the demand of following that tempo and getting in line with that tempo is difficult, isn't it? It's very difficult. And I've been thinking a lot about this lately, and I'm thinking, have we lost the patience that we need and the trust that we need in order to live within the rhythm that God establishes for each of our lives? I mean, if you think about faith for just a moment, the core principle of faith is patience, isn't it? That's a core principle of faith, is to be patient and wait upon the Lord. There's a waiting upon God and allowing ourselves to be within the rhythm that He has established. And I believe this is one of the greatest challenges of our day. I absolutely believe this. This is one of the greatest challenges that we face in the church. It's learning how to not only recognize, but live every day and abide within the rhythm that God has established for our lives personally. Maybe you've never thought about this before, perhaps you have, but I want you to consider God and creation. I want you to consider the rhythm that God has incorporated into all of creation, all right, for just a few moments. Every piece of creation has a unique rhythm. Every piece of all of the created world and the universe has a rhythm. And God has placed that rhythm. Imagine yourself on the beach in this chair for just a second, and you just imagine the waves coming onto shore. And think about the rhythm. You like my sound effects? All right, the high and low tide coming in. It's consistent. It's not rushed. It's always the same. Seasons have a rhythm. We're entering into fall. This is a time when things begin to die off. Things get a little colder. And then the change of seasons will then come when the warmth and the new life in spring happens. And think about the days of rhythm. The days have rhythm. Your day has a rhythm. Right? Nobody in this room was worried that the sun was going to rise, right? We just knew that it was going to. We weren't waking up looking for it. It was just we knew that the sun was going to rise this morning because God has placed into the cosmic order of all things for the planets to be rotating around in our solar system at a pace, at a rhythm. It takes this Earth 365 days to go all the way around the sun. Think of that rhythm. And think about how many times the moon rotates and how many times the other solar systems and the planets in our solar system are rotating. Just think of the speed. They're all going at different speeds and different rhythms. You see? Think about the human body, the rhythm within the human body. What's your heart beating right now? I went to the Franklin Institute, and they've got this rhythm thing where you can hear the different heartbeats, and you hear an elephant's heartbeat, and it's just, oh no, a blue whale. A blue whale's heartbeat is just like, boom. Boom. And then you click on the little squirrel, the chipmunk, and the heartbeat is like, boom. Your heart is beating at a consistent, rhythmic manner, pumping life through our bodies. Your lungs are breathing at a rhythm, at a consistent pace, right? Everything God has created has rhythm. It is the way of God. He's established rhythm in all of created order, in all of the cosmic universe. And here's one thing that I have discovered is that when rhythm is not present, chaos is. When rhythm is not present, when rhythm is absent, when there's a lack of rhythm, chaos is present, isn't it? Right? Things just. This is how God has created order into the cosmos. He gave things rhythm. He gave things rhythm. And you can find God's rhythm planned in every part of creation. And I want you to think about the layering of rhythm that God has. God has a rhythm that is moving throughout ages, right? And that rhythm is like a blue whale's heartbeat, nice and slow. And then on top of that rhythm is another layer of rhythm, and that's generations. And on top of that rhythm is years and months. I can't snap any faster. And then on top of that rhythm are weeks, and on top of that rhythm are days. There is a way that which God has created the natural order of things to be all held within rhythm so that there is order. And so clearly God has designed all of life to operate within certain rhythms. But what about God's rhythm for us? For our lives personally, if we too are created ones, are we not also designed to remain within the rhythm that he establishes for our lives? In this passage of scripture that we just read, Paul is emphasizing the conflict between battle that we face every day. The battle between two things that are completely opposed to each other. He mentions the way of the Spirit, which is God's way, and the way of the flesh, which is our human way. And he's saying these two things are constantly battling one another. They're constantly opposed with one another. And we discover here that there is a rhythm that has been established for our lives that God wants to use to protect and create order in our lives. And it actually guards your entire being. The order that God, the rhythm that God has placed in the natural order of things is protecting your mind and your heart and your spirit. And that when we abide in God's rhythm, it produces the God quality of life. And so he says here, the secret to winning this battle of the flesh is to walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and keep in step with the Spirit. Everybody say, keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. So what does this look like? What does this mean? When Paul says walk by the Spirit, in the Greek, that word walk, I love this. It means to be accompanied with, right? When you're walking with somebody, you're accompanied with them. And so when he said walk with the Spirit, he's literally saying be accompanied, be occupied with the Spirit of God. I'm not sorry. It means to be occupied, not accompanied. It means to be occupied with the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit means to be occupied with what the Spirit is doing. We learn in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, we learn a lot about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus is in his last time, moments with the disciples, and he's sharing the role of the Holy Spirit, and he says, look, the Holy Spirit is the one that I'm going to send to you. He's going to communicate all things that are truth to you. He's going to guide you. He's going to be a helper. He's going to be your comforter. He's going to be the one that you look to and listen for. He's going to be the one that teaches you all the things about who I am. Are you occupied with the activity of the Spirit of God? Are you occupied with the activity of the Spirit of God? We're going to talk more about that next week. Paul goes on in verse 25 and he says, "So then if you are alive by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God has come and indwelt your life, then let us also keep in step with the Spirit." And I love this verse because what I see in this verse is that this is where godliness becomes practical, right? He was just talking about these are the things that the things of the flesh that we do, and these are the things of the works of the flesh: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, and the list goes on and on and on. And then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the very product that your life wants to be producing because the Spirit of God lives within you, is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. This is where godliness becomes practical. Because in order to keep in step with the Spirit of God, it requires us to be always God-conscious rather than self-conscious. I mean, we live in a society right now, in a culture, where it's all about me and self. We're constantly conscious about what I've got to do and what I've got to get done and what I want to do and what I need to get done for my friends, my family. It's always self-conscious. And what Paul is saying here is, no. If you want your life to produce the God quality type of life, then keep in step with the Spirit. Abide in the rhythm of the Spirit. Allow the rhythm of God to operate through your life. And what that means is that it requires each and every one of us to then be God conscious, attentive to the rhythms of God, listening and being aware of what God is doing in our lives and being responsible to that. The question then is raised, well, how do we find God's rhythm amidst the hustle and the bustle of life, right? How do you find God's rhythm amidst it all? How do we keep in step with the Spirit when everything else around us is moving at such an intense and demanding pace? I believe the key to learning how to do this is understanding time and understanding who that time belongs to. I think this is the key to it. Our culture has adopted a mindset that time is something that belongs to us, something that we possess, something that is ours, right? And we say things like, if I only had more time, if there were only enough hours in the day to finish everything I've got to do, I don't have enough time to do this or to do that, right? We live in a culture where we have access in these devices to where we can increase our productivity 100-fold, and yet there just seems to never be enough time. We can produce, can't we? We live in a society and a culture that can produce. Man, we can put out. We can put out a lot of stuff, but there's never enough time. And because we view time as something that is ours, something that we have a very short supply of, something that we're limited by, then what happens then is that it becomes a problem for us in that fact that we begin to become slaves to that time. We end up serving time rather than serving our Lord. One author I read refers to this as the tyranny of the urgent. The tyranny of the urgent. What a profound statement that is, right? We are all like stuck within a culture that is just a tyrant, urgent, move faster, get more done, do this, do this, do this, do this, produce more in less amount of time. You've got to put out more, to the point where we're all burnt out, frustrated, exhausted, and we're teetering on the edge of self-destruction. This isn't the way that God designed it. That's not the rhythm that God designed. Time is God's creation. If you think about it for just a moment, time is a gift from God to us. It's actually one of the boundaries that he's set into place for us. It's like we can't go outside of the time of when we start breathing to the day we stop breathing, right? There's a time, it's a boundary in our lives, and I believe that boundary is for our benefit. But learning how to trust God with his time can be difficult, can't it? It can be absolutely difficult. And the reason why it's difficult is because we're so accustomed to operating as if time belongs to us, as it's something that we hold on to and we are required to figure out how to appropriate our time, how we are to spend our time. How we use our time must be filtered through the correct view of time. And the correct view of time is acknowledging the fact that time is all His. He created it. It's not mine. It's not mine. And when we stop for a moment and think about that and acknowledge that time is God's, not ours, then we're able to approach each and every day from a God-conscious point of view. Okay, God, this day that I'm alive and that I'm breathing, these hours that are before me, this week that is before me, this season of life is before me, right? How do you want me to operate? How would you like me to live my life? What is the rhythm that you are calling me into? What is the rhythm that you would have for me? It's about being God-conscious with His time rather than self-conscious with time that we think is ours. I was sharing with the first service about a podcast that I was listening to a couple weeks ago, and it really made an impact on my life. And the podcast was listening to some guy who's considered one of the great thinkers in the church today, and he was talking about self-discipline and how we exercise self-discipline and exercise that spiritual muscle. And he was saying something very profound. He says that it is scientifically proven that each and every one of us has a finite amount of willpower. All right? Scientifically proven that each and every one of us in this room have a finite amount of willpower in a day. We're only able to give out of our will a certain amount each and every day. So then he was saying that it becomes imperative how we choose to spend that amount of time, that willpower. So for example, if I spent my entire day giving of my willpower to my 8 hours of work or whatever I have to do, and I have nothing left to give to my wife and my kids when I come home, was I effective in that day? Right? Was I doing what God, was I abiding in the rhythm that God has set for my life? Does that example help? Does that example help? That we have, it becomes imperative that how we choose to spend the finite amount of willpower that we have each and every day. And so the reality is that our lives were designed by God to fluctuate within His rhythm for our lives, the rhythm that He establishes. Now, if you're anything like me, you often find yourself competing with the rhythm of God that He's set for your life, right? I mean, I think we all have a difficulty with that at times. We compete with the rhythm that God has set for our lives. And sometimes I feel like I'm moving at a pace that's much faster than what God is saying for me to do. And sometimes I feel like he's moving at a pace and I'm not ready, or I don't feel like I'm ready, but I know that I need to be obedient and ready to follow the pace that He's moving at. It's a little bit faster, right? This isn't keeping in step with His Spirit. And so what ends up happening is that when we live outside of God's rhythm for our lives, if we're not attentive to and listening for and being aware of the rhythm that God has each and every one of us in our lives, and let me just say this, is that every one of us in our room are at different rhythms right now. I don't think that we're definitely not on the same rhythm. There's some people in this room that God is, the Holy Spirit is prompting you. He's saying, okay, now's the time for action. Now's the time for action. Now's time to step into what I have. Other people in this room, God is the keeping in step with the Spirit is saying, okay, now's a time and a season for you just to rest and pause. Slow down and listen to my voice. Right? And so what happens is that when we live outside of God's rhythm, we end up missing out on what God is doing. We end up missing out on what God is trying to do, and we miss out on the timing for us of the things that He has prepared in advance for us to do. And I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to miss what God is doing. I want to know that I am within His rhythm. I want to make sure that I am within His rhythm. I'm going to ask the worship team to join me up here on the stage, and we're going to draw this to a close in just a minute. But I just kind of want to reiterate the lesson that God has, the message for us this morning, and the message is for us to get in sync with what God is doing, not God getting in sync with what we're doing, right? It's a living a life that is surrendered to the rhythm that He has set, the pace that He has set for our lives. It's slowing down and taking His time. It's slowing down. Taking His time that He has granted to us and gifted to us and using it the appropriate way. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in depth next week. But it's visualizing and seeing what God is orchestrating right now in our lives. And I just encourage you to pause for just a moment in this space, in the presence of God, as the Word of God is speaking to us, the Spirit of God is speaking to us, teaching us and encouraging us to keep in step with Him. Try to visualize and see what God is orchestrating in your life. Practice listening each and every day to the rhythm that God has established for your day. Before you get started, pause. Say, God, what is it that you want me to see today? What is it that you want me to be about today? What activity do you want me to get involved in today? What activity do you want me to refrain from today? Like, what is it that you would have me to do? God, I want nothing more than for my life to be a product of your nature and character. I want nothing more than for my life to be a reflection of your heart and the fruit of your Spirit. And God, I recognize that I cannot move and I cannot produce that type of life if I'm out of sync with your rhythm. So every morning, say, God, today I want to be in your rhythm. I want to be within your pace. And so, God, I pray that you would enable me and empower me to be conscious of you and what you're doing, to see what you're doing, to hear what you're doing, to listen for what you are doing. God is constantly providing a rhythm for your life. And it becomes imperative that we learn how to recognize that rhythm and then abide within that rhythm. For me, the first step to catching His rhythm is acknowledging my need to slow down in such a fast-paced world. Catching His rhythm for me is acknowledging that I need Sabbath rest, true Sabbath rest, where I'm not sitting on my butt doing nothing, but I'm actively engaged. I'm actually engaged in the things that God has called me to, and I'm God conscious. And you take inventory. True Sabbath rest is when you pause from your other day-to-day stuff and you take a moment to assess the things that God is doing in your life. To catch His rhythm once again. That's the purpose for that Sabbath rest. To become God conscious and aware of what He's doing. I believe God is calling His people and leading us into a time and a season of spending more time with Him. Right? More time with Him, resting in His presence, exercising the spiritual muscles of daily prayer and scripture reading. Taking time just to walk in His creation, finding a spot where you can just be with God at rest, allowing the speed and the pace of this of man's rhythm to submit to God's rhythm. I've been making more time to do these things recently, even more time. I believe I know that God has been drawing me into a season of just being with Him. Because if I'm not conscious of what He's doing, if I'm not attentive and listening to what He's doing, then I'm going to miss out on what He's doing. And I've discovered that living in sync with God's rhythm has been so much more energizing, life-giving, than following the frenzy, frantic rhythm that mankind has set. I find it interesting to think about that of all of God's creation, and everything that God has created, humans are the only species that has the ability to say no to the rhythm of God. Isn't that amazing? We're the only ones that have the ability to choose to say no to God's rhythm. And what I believe God is saying to us in this season is to say yes to his rhythm. It's to be aware of his rhythm. To be constantly seeking his will. Not only for every day, but for this week, this month, this upcoming year. God, what are you saying? And what's the pace that you're leading me into? What's the rhythm that you would have for my life? It is time to restore God's way, church. The way of rhythm. It is a beautiful and peaceful blend of rest and activity in the pace that he sets for us. And to be honest with you, it is the answer to the frenzy, chaotic, hurried, restless, anxious culture that surrounds us. I want to read to you one of my favorite passages of scripture, and it's found in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It was the passage of scripture the Lord led me to when I gave up and I said, I'm going to give you my life. It was this passage of scripture, and I'm going to read it from the Message. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out? Then come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I believe that God is raising up a people for himself in this day, in this age, who will abide in his rhythm, who will choose to say yes to his way and recognize that his established order, that my life is to align with his established order. A people who will choose to live life that goes against the demands of culture. A people who will keep in step with his spirit. Can I ask you to stand? And what I'd like to do in this moment is respond with just a song that we sung in the first part of this service. And just sing it again, but from the perspective of abiding within the rhythm that God has established for our lives. And perhaps you want to just pray while this song is being sung. Maybe you want to sing this song. Maybe this is an opportunity for you to say, you know what? Things have been a little bit out of rhythm with God lately, and it's time that I get it back in rhythm with God. And that's the beautiful thing about God. He's so gracious. He's so gracious. But just in this moment, we're going to worship. We're going to sing this song, and then I'm going to come up here and I'm going to read a prayer. And after that prayer, we're just going to dismiss the service. It's going to be a little bit somber in here, and that's a good thing. It's going to be peaceful and reflective, and I'd like to keep it that way. So after we worship and then I pray, you'll be free to be dismissed. And if you'd like to stay in the sanctuary and be present with the Lord, I encourage you to do so. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads and listen to the words. This written prayer by Jack Hayford. I come to you, Lord, as a creature caught within time. So many of my days are too short. So many of my trials seem too long. So much of life seems scheduled by a clock, and I want to control it, but I can't. I confess my sin of impatience and haste. I've pressed issues before their time, and I've made shreds of what would have been blossoms. I've hurried into situations and created waves of confusion instead of bringing kingdom tranquility. I need you, Lord. You who transcend time, you who are both the eternal before and the infinite afterward, come and fill my now. Jesus, Alpha and Omega, start writing what should be written in the whole of my present circumstances. you are able to author the story that the Father intends, and that's what I want. I don't want to write with my own wisdom. I've seen the end of those stories before, and I don't like them. So I pray today, help me to live in your name, Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega. You who know all that has preceded this very moment and what should flow out of it. Guide my path today in your wisdom and for your purposes. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.